This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 290 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, a very tired Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. How are you?
Oh, I'm tired, Bruce. I'm good.
So how's your kitchen reno?
Don't talk about vicus horribilis. It's been just an effing nightmare the last couple of days.
Really. First rule of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. What was that?
This is just the last 4 hours ago, or maybe okay, 36 hours now.
Right.
It started with a tradesman putting his ladder through one of our windows.
Oh, smashed. Right.
That's where it started.
Yep.
It ended tonight with my 3.5-year-old cutting a hand open on a shard of glass inside one of her toys.
Oh, you're kidding.
That went into one of her dolls, and she picked up the doll and cut it into her hand. So that was the beginning. That's the end so far.
I'm thinking there's a lawsuit there.
In between there is, because the kitchen's finally getting close to completion, so we bring in the appliances.
Yeah.
The oven's got a bend in the bottom plate, so the oven door doesn't open properly.
Oh, jeez.
Sending someone out to fix that.
Yeah.
The cooktop, missing some pieces, so they can't put it in.
Oh.
Sending those pieces out.
Yeah.
The fridge has a ding in the front door.
Oh, what?
Sending someone out to replace the front door. One of the kitchen dividers is missing something, so that can't be used.
Seriously, dude, just put the house on the market, walk away.
They forgot to build two doors.
Oh, you're kidding.
Four other doors that were contracted out to a mob in Sydney stuffed up, and so they had to go back to Sydney and do them again.
What?
What else? Oh, so certainly in that delivery where we had two new couches, we had an oven, a cooktop, a range hood, and a fridge delivered. Okay.
Yeah.
The couches were the wrong color. The range hood box had a big ding and a big hole in it where something had gone through. I thought, oh, here we go. But that was okay. The oven didn't work. This cooktop doesn't work, and the fridge has got a ding in it. Every single thing bar the range hood, and luckily, looking at the way the box was, it was lucky there's anything. So every single thing for that delivery is up the creek. But to make it all worse, they're doing some work somewhere on one of our phone towers near us.
Right.
For the next 8 days.
Right.
And I've been on SOS signal half the time.
Oh, what?
Or half the time.
For your mobile?
It allows me to call. I'll make the call. It'll ring. People will start to talk. Then they can't hear me. I can hear them. They can't hear me.
Oh, what?
Also, I've got all these tradesmen calling. These people calling back trying to fix the problems.
Oh,
of course. Then, the guys are doing some electricity in the kitchen, and the TV, it's like a little short circuit. Just for a second, the TV and everything flickered on and off, and it was halfway through a game. It kind of ruined my game, but that's an aside.
Yeah.
So a couple of hours later, TV goes off again, and I think everyone's gone. They've done something, and it's tripped the fuse. So I'm just trying to look at the TV and stuff. My wife goes, but she goes, there's a leak in the laundry. And after 15 years, the laundry hose, the little screw on it, decided to unscrew.
Yep.
And after the spray of water out.
Yep.
For 15 years, it's been fixed.
Yeah.
It's moved in 15 effing years. It sprays water onto a power electrical power board. With the fridge, the freezer, and the dryer, the washing machine, and so it's spraying water into an electrical outlet, which shorted out the house.
Oh man!
I think I've got those almost sorted. I still don't know. This is a day later, so I haven't dared try turning anything on. But it's shorted out our hot water service.
Are you kidding?
So we had no hot water. It's just like, oh, it's all just, and of course. Not having phones, proper phones to call anyone, and we have a landline, but it's a bad signal on the landline. It's hard to hear anyone anyway. It's
just
And everyone's got contact details is the mobile number.
Yeah.
So anytime a tradie wants to call, they're trying to call that, and then they can't hear me. No, it's been a joyous 24 hours.
Man, karma's caught up with you.
Oh, jeez. I think my karma must have run up someone's dogma.
Good thing is, you should be right for the next 10,000 years.
Did I mention I'm going on a plane tomorrow?
You're really living on the edge.
Yeah, so I'm going to Brisbane for the weekend, and I'm looking forward to the break, I've got to tell you. To the break.
Your wife won't be able to ring you with any other problems because there won't be a phone that works.
Well, I'm hoping that it's once I get out of our tower range, it'll be okay.
But yeah,
it's
right.
A couple of days
wow.
from
that's shocking.
Buy a bowl, and then we've got these glass tables delivered. Oh, we got another new couch delivered. A great big leather. That's the best thing of the week. The new leather couch. It's effing awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so comfortable. Yeah. But then we've got these glass tables to go in the other room we're doing. And ever the handyman, they came in all these big wooden crates.
Right.
And he had to pry them open. So I can do this. I'm manly. I've got a screwdriver. I pulled it open. It sort of pried halfway open. Then I went to go and pry again, and it flung back with these nails straight into my finger in three places.
Oh!
Underneath the spot. It's like, why did I think I could be a handyman? What kind of, you know the definition of idiots? Doing the same thing over and over again.
Expecting a different result.
Why do I get these delusions of, so I've decided I'm going to become a DDIYer.
Right.
And don't do it yourself.
Yeah.
Far better way to live.
Oh, wow.
Now, I hear some good news on your end.
Yes. I got the phone call this afternoon to say that the bike is ready to be picked up. So I'm actually catching a taxi tomorrow morning from home to the bike shop so that I can hop on the bike and then ride to work. So I've told work I'll be late getting in. looking forward. Oh, well, just that the bike shop doesn't open until 8:30.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
And normally I'd be halfway to work by then, so. It's a 70K commute, so. Anyway, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Did you get any response on your Facebook posts?
Oh, heaps.
I mean, from them.
Oh, from Triumph?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yes. Yeah. No. When I, when was that? Was that Friday of last week or maybe Monday of this? No, Monday of this week.
Recently.
No, it was Friday. That's right. It was
the
Friday.
The day because, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
just
tell us
what they said. Oh, I think it was about 4:15. No, it wasn't 4:15. It was later than that.
Yeah.
I just had a cup of tea. And no, it
so
wasn't after
Friday
the, it was
night.
Before the cup of tea. So it must have been before 4:15. I also had my cup of tea at 4:15. I'm pretty sure it's before that.
From the marketing manager of Triumph Australia, who said, sorry to hear about your dramas. Drop us an email or give us a call. And because it was Friday night, it was like 8 o'clock when I got that message, I thought, well, there's no sense me trying to get hold of him tomorrow because it's the weekend. So I wrote a big lengthy email and forwarded that, you know, off to him, you know, and then anticipating that on Monday I would chase it up with him. But right. I got an email from a different person on Monday morning. Obviously, the marketing manager had forwarded my email on to the guy who is the parts, accessories and clothing manager. clothing as in, you know, like Triumph branded. And so he said, look, you know, I don't know where they got this idea that the parts weren't going to be here until the 2nd of April. He said, because they have all arrived in the country this weekend. I've got them all here now. They will be leaving here, i.e. Melbourne, today, Monday. He said they will definitely be at the dealership no later than the close of business Wednesday. He said, so, you know, depending on their workload, they should have you on the road by the weekend. So
did you say, well, why weren't the parts in place in the first place?
Didn't want to go there. But, so I spoke to the dealers yesterday afternoon. Couldn't get hold of the workshop manager, and he rang me back this morning and said, yep, look, we're working on it right now. He said it should be finished by lunchtime today. And I said, well, I'm in Sydney. I can't pick it up today, but I'll come and pick it up first thing tomorrow morning. So, yeah, looking forward to it. It will be nice to get those 2.5 hours of my day back every day. So,
man.
Anyway.
That's enough of you. I did forget to mention one thing about me.
Oh, yeah.
No, the hot water service. I have to add this to the story because it's worthwhile. Just the pure fun of it all.
Okay.
I called the tech helpline.
Yep.
And they sent me around, and I had to try and do some stuff, and that didn't work. But I heard the information. What I had to do, it was pretty easy. So I said, you know, I was like, I'll go do that. Hung up, stupid. Went around. That didn't work. So I had to call again.
Yep.
this time I on the phone, whilst I did what they said, oh, no, that's no good. We'll transfer you through to service and they'll book a service call for you. I said, no problem. Says this is 10 past five last night.
Right.
At 10 past six, I'm still on hold. You know, your call is important to us. You are in line.
But not that important.
all our operators are busy at the moment. But here's the thing. So I'm on the phone for an hour, okay?
Yeah.
I decided to look on their website whilst waiting to find out that their service department closes at 5:30. So I was on hold for 20 minutes before they closed and 40 minutes after they closed and got home.
Oh, that sucks.
And they left me on hold. And get this, I've talked to three people from Rinnai today and not one of them said sorry.
What?
I even said, when I was having a go at one because I was in a big fight with them this afternoon.
Yeah.
I said, and I've talked to two of your operatives this morning. I explained what happened to me last night, and not one of them have even had the gall to even say sorry.
Yeah.
And the woman sitting there goes, oh, I'm waiting for her to say sorry, you know? None.
It was not my fault.
40 minutes after. So I've booked a call for the supervisors. I want to ask her what her protocol is because she's the supervisor. She runs the call center.
Yep.
What's their protocol for closing down of an evening if this call's on hold?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said they waste 40 minutes of my time.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Man, and this is Rinnai.
Yeah. So Rinnai, don't bother anybody.
Yeah.
Triumph motorcycles, keep away.
Funny thing is, 20 years ago, there was quite a famous tape circulating through the radio industry of a guy who had rung Rinnai's quote-unquote 24-hour hotline.
Oh, no.
Right? And it's hilarious because the first call, he's quite sedate and he's like, oh, yeah, hi, I'm just ringing because I've got water coming out of this thing in my wall and I need someone to get here real quick. Can you call me back? My number's blah, 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 blah. Right? And then you hear the meep as it goes to the next message and it's the same guy again. He's going, what the bloody hell's going on? Where is everybody? This is meant to be a 24-hour. And then it goes beep and then he comes back and he's absolutely going ape. Oh. And he's like, F this, F that, Rinnai, F and hot water.
Well, it is a 24-hour call service. You just have to wait 8 or 9 hours in queue until it becomes daylight again.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, well, we should talk photography because we're 10 minutes into the podcast.
The trials and tribulations of our lives.
Yeah.
Mind you, I've got so many supportive messages on Facebook, Wingebook, about me bleating about this. Yeah, stuff like, oh, I'm so glad you're having a day like this. It's really making me enjoy my day. Yeah. You know, sorry for what's happening, but gee, it's making us laugh. I got lots of that. It was lovely.
Yep.
I hate people. Anyway.
Now, I saw...
Before we go on to this week's episode, I want to have a little word about Reg Vardy from last week's episode.
Oh, okay.
Our Reg Vardy down there in Tasmania.
Yeah.
He said the lack of research was not noticed in last week's podcast. I'm not sure whether we should take that as a compliment or an insult.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know what he means. He says it's no different from any other week.
Right.
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
Anyway, take
it as bad.
Yeah. Open up the first link that I sent you.
We're doing links already.
Yes.
You haven't asked about me a week.
Oh, I couldn't care less. We're 10 minutes in and we haven't spoken about photography
before
yet.
Before we do that.
No, we're 14 minutes in.
My Lord. No, but yeah,
we're a quarter of the way through the podcast and we haven't even talked about photography.
I'm about to talk about photography. I was at the Camberwell Camera Club on Monday night doing a talk.
And how did that go?
Well, I had to live judge their photos on screen in front of them all.
Right.
You know how much I love judging?
Yeah.
Now, I'd already prejudged all the photographs and found almost none worthy
right.
of judging. And then there's this one guy. Well, I shouldn't say because he might be listening. No, I can't say it. Well, listen, because they're listening to the podcast now. I was at another club a few weeks ago. Hint, hint, I'm talking about this one. a few weeks ago. And there's this guy who was doing an exhibition of photographs.
Right.
And he submitted a photograph similar to the ones he's exhibiting.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even rate it.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Oh.
But anyway, so I'm having to do live judging of this topic is age and aging.
Right.
And I've got to, as horrible as it is, I mean, there was like no use of light in any of the shots.
Oh, really?
Just really poor use of lights. And so they put this badly post-processed image of a truck. The very first image came up. It's this badly post-processed sepia-style looking photo of a truck, an old rusted truck in the field. But it's kind of hidden by a tree, so you can't really see it.
Right.
So it comes up on the screen, and there's the expectant audience waiting for my
glowing praise.
Discussion. No, in-depth discussion about the image. And I've just looked at it and gone, it's a truck. Next. there was a fair bit of that. I had nothing to say. There's no instructive criticism I could have given. It was like, well, it's a truck.
Yeah.
Right. Try shooting a bit lower next time, and maybe don't have that tree
walk
blocking
the arc.
Yeah. So that was live judging every photograph entered in four different categories in front of. I wondered why their judging went for an hour. Now I realize why.
Right.
And it was not a pleasant experience.
Right.
Anyway, so the first link, what link?
Yeah, the first link that I sent you.
You sent me a link.
Is to an article on the San Francisco Globe. And it's a portfolio of images by a guy called Blake Little called Preservation.
Preservation.
And it's a unique series of portraits where he's got all of the models, combination of male and female, and doused them in honey.
That's a lot of honey.
That's a lot of honey.
Oh, I wonder if he reuses it. I mean, I know this is probably not the thing to think about. You're looking at the photograph.
Well, it's funny that you should go there because a lot of the comments at the bottom of the page are all saying exactly that. What
really?
A waste of honey. You know, here we are with this global problem of bees dying off and not producing honey, and yeah, we don't know what's killing the bees.
Could be faux honey. And,
well, could be.
I've got to tell you, it's cool.
It is a very cool series.
I'm not so sure about the Exxon Valdez shot number two.
Which one was number two? The
one holding a duck or whatever.
Oh, right.
It's just a little bit too Exxon Valdez.
Yeah, it is a bit.
But that's some very cool stuff.
It's it's amazing that he's found models who were happy to, you know, have themselves covered in sticky, gooey honey. Even young kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly a very interesting portfolio.
Someone said, hate seeing food and any products wasted. And his response was, is it wasted though? It's produced beautiful images that, barring a disaster, will last for thousands of years. Is that any more of a waste than had it been eaten by well-off people who have plenty of other food anyway? It's not as if the people who produced it would have shipped it off to the starving for free if this photographer hadn't bought it.
That's true. That's true.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. But anyway.
Now, just looking at the links, a couple down.
Yeah.
Family vacation photo has unexplained photo bomber. And whilst on vacation in Australia in 2014, Kim Davidson, her friend Jessie Liu, and their three children were basking in the sun when they decided to snap this picture. They developed their photos later. Developed? What's that? But upon closer inspection, noticed something odd behind them. As you can see from this still image, well, if it's a photo, it should be a still image, there appears to be an extra person posing with them in the sunshine. Though they claim there are only people swimming, they were the only people swimming that
Where
area.
Where are you getting this link from?
It's just like a couple down from the one you looked at.
In the
it looks like some sort of devil.
In my notes.
No, on the honey page.
On the San Francisco Globe page.
Yeah,
right.
I'll send the link.
Ken Dixon sent us a story that was in the Courier Mail up in Queensland. Fairly sad story of a man's body found by police after being stuck in a tunnel on the Brisbane River. And it turns out that this guy had been photographing underground in tunnels and whatever, and floodwaters rose very quickly, and he got trapped by the rising floodwaters and couldn't get out and ended up drowning. And I guess it's just a timely reminder that if you're going to do those sorts of he probably didn't think it was risky, but I guess if you're going to go into an enclosed space like that,
it's
you know,
storm water drains.
Yeah, I mean, you know, make sure you've got an exit strategy, I guess, is the...
Check the weather a little bit before you go. If you're in a storm water drain when the cyclone's around,
yeah,
there's a chance of rain.
Yes.
Now, Brisbane last weekend, I know because I'm in Brisbane this weekend, I'm watching the weather. Yep. Last weekend, they had 150 millimetres of rain in the weekend.
Wow.
Which is, that's a lot, yeah. that's 6 inches to our American cousins.
Yep.
Friends, pals, and comrades.
Yep. So I'm not laughing at the guy dying,
You've also got to, if you're going to do that sort of stuff, buddy up. Yeah, you know, don't go alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been in a situation of almost drowning in my other occupation as a fisherman.
Really?
Hit by uncontrolled current that I couldn't stop, and being about to be washed under a very deep ledge under a bridge into a whole big tangle of trees.
Wow.
And I'm on my tippy toes, just trying to push against with my tippy toes, and being pushed and pushed and pushed, and somehow I got out.
Yeah, right.
But that, it's so, and I was by myself again. No one would have even known where to look for me.
Yeah, right.
And if I'm tangled under a whole bunch of trees under a bridge, no one's going to find me probably.
No.
Not for a long time. So,
not before stuff. The fish have had a good feed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, if you're going to do that sort of stuff, buddy up. You know, have someone there to at least call for help or, you know, to know what's happened.
Yeah. Now, we got a fairly lengthy email from David Marland through.
Good on you, David, for writing that. It was really appreciated.
Yeah. And it's lengthy, but I'm going to read it anyway.
Do. I think it's worthwhile.
Hi, Bruce and Glenn. Well, last week's podcast was, as usual, very enjoyable, and I can only agree with Glenn about bucket lists as it hit a nerve with me.
I missed that bit. So just go back at that again. Sorry, what was that?
You can play the podcast back and hear it again. I've been in the situation of having my life given a finite potential twice. The first was a few years ago when my hobby was flying an old crop duster to tow and launch gliders. The plane I was piloting decided to have an engine fire at just over 1,000 feet. I calculated I had 65 seconds. The bucket list was simple. Land and survive, which I did. Good training goes a long way, but I also had that experience of Bruce's when he had the praying where the world seems to slow down, your vision goes cold and hard, and you can see it all unfolding in front of you in slow motion. The second was 5 years ago when diagnosed with lymphoma and told simply, if I didn't have treatment, I would only have 5 years. The bucket list was simple. Go through the treatment and survive. Which I did. At the same time, I said bugger this and bought a new lens and used the lens as an incentive to see the world differently as I went through chemo. I don't see the point of writing out a list of exactly what you want to see or do. I think if you're one of those people that has a list and ticks them off, either of two things happens. You're so busy trying to tick off the list you forget to live, or you die with regret, cursing the fact that you haven't finished the list, especially if things come to an abrupt halt. Life isn't a list. It's an experience.
Say that one again.
Yeah. Life isn't a list.
Life isn't a list.
It's an experience. So why are people afraid of the experience and reduce it to a series of KPIs? Don't have a list. Have an approach. Life is not a rehearsal, and we cannot predict what is around the corner, like oil slicks. So my philosophy is simple. Every day you are alive is a good day. Take what opportunities and fortune allow and live it to the fullest. Photography's the same. I do it to enjoy. If I enjoy, then I think my photography's all the better for it. That doesn't mean I don't take on new challenges or push myself into new approaches. Far from it. I try new ways of doing things. I've even tried a creative photo workshop and survived. But I had fun and learned a lot. Don't show this to Glenn. He'll have trouble getting his head out the door. And enjoyed myself. My motivation is not to tick off some magic list of 1,001 types of photography you must do before you die, but have fun and smell the roses. Nor is it, as I have sadly seen among some and related by Glenn, that their only motivation is to win a photo competition or that photo competition rules are what you strive for and spend most of their photography picking apart the finest of fine points that most do not see. Like a wonderful garden with 1,000 blooms is no good because one petal is a millimetre out of place. I do not claim in any way to be a good photographer, but upon being asked by friends, I've showed some of my pics to a group once. Afterward, one of the audience took me aside, explained he was a former member of a defunct photography club, and told me everything I had done wrong, like not use the rule of thirds strictly or had lines reaching to the edge of the frame, Apparently, there was something wrong with every photo I showed. Obviously, a person who made sure he ticked the magic list for every photo he took. I reckon he might have been deaf and missed the bit about the enjoyment I was having when I spoke about the bushwalking, relaxing, or other experience I had while making the capture. Funny, he was so good I don't even remember his name. I have things in the back of my mind I would like to do if the opportunity comes about. Recently, I had the chance to take a helicopter to the top of the Fox Glacier in New Zealand and briefly walked the ice field. I took my photos, but I made sure I got my eye away from the viewfinder and shared the moment with my daughter. That was a fan-bloody-tastic and very fulfilling experience, especially as it is now just over 5 years from diagnosis. The photos were okay too. Here endeth the rant. Now some other stuff. I spotted this one that I'm sure Glyn will provide an appropriate commentary. His descriptions of photos are far better than I could ever do. Impossibly sexy or impossible to be sexy. And this was a link to some boudoir photography and some tips on how to pose women of all shapes and sizes if you're doing boudoir work. Warn listeners to have a bucket ready when they view. On the other hand, this one is very clever. And that was a YouTube link, and I can't remember what that was. Let me just load that up. Oh, the morphing. That was awesome. Glyn, have a look at the morphing after you've finished the podcast. Keep up the good work, guys. So there we go. Thank you, David. Great email.
I love that. That's I've got to put that. That's in the top one emails we've ever got.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I loved it because it explained an approach to photography that doesn't have, and you don't have to be obsessive. You don't have to be. I mean, I am, but doesn't. you could be like you who loves the opportunity when you get the opportunity, but you don't, and you might miss not getting the opportunity sometimes, but it doesn't drive your life, doesn't make you feel bad about your life because you don't get a chance to do it.
No.
You know? I love that bit about taking his eye out of the viewfinder and enjoying the experience with his daughter. That's definitely it, you know? You know that with your son and me with my kids.
Yep.
We get so obsessed of living life through a viewfinder.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a concert and people live concerts through the screen on their phone.
It's crazy. They
watch the bloody video. So I really like that. I won't go, because we need to keep this podcast a bit short tonight. I won't go through all the boudoir shots.
Yeah.
But
the link will be in the show notes for anyone else.
Yeah.
Check it out.
If you don't.
All right. So that's all I had. What do you got?
I just don't get any.
Keep it short.
Lessons. Do you know what I found this week?
What'd you find?
I found I had 34 gigabytes of photographs on my phone.
Nice work.
Couldn't understand why my phone was full. So I haven't got that many apps.
It's only a 32 gig
phone. That much music on there. Music doesn't take it. 34 gig of photos.
It's only a 32 gig phone.
I came across. Oh, here's a little tip.
Yeah.
It just seemed you mentioned that. I hadn't thought of it. I've only got 5.6 gig of space left on my Mac, right?
Right.
I had to put some stuff onto a USB key because for my daughter's fate, I photographed the other day. I had to put the images onto a USB key for her to take to school tomorrow. And the only USB key I had a folder on I wanted to put onto my hard drive.
Right.
But my hard drive had 5.4 whatever, and this is 5.8 gig.
Right.
Right. So I put it in the trash bin.
And
in the trash bin, my computer's still got 5.4 gig of space. So I'm using my trash bin as a folder to store stuff.
That is awesome.
So now when I need it, I'll just pull it out from there. So how's that little tip? Now if you need a little extra storage, go into your trash bin. For me, that was pretty clever. It was a wow moment, you know. I've got a few things.
There is absolutely nothing that could go wrong with that plan.
No, hardly sounds seems fraught with danger at all. It's not like just photo; it's just some video, some TV shows. It's not like important. It's not like his photos.
Okay. You didn't move the daughter's photos into the trash can.
No. School photos are on the. I had to empty them off the USB key, so I had a blank USB key just to give to her with the photos on. I made sure she took my One Direction USB key.
Right.
Of a series of One Direction USB keys.
Right.
Yeah, just they were cheap.
Who had now been renamed to Two Directions.
That's right, yeah. Well, slightly less direction because one's gone. There's a guy in China has been busted, an official, a politician has been busted because of his photography obsession.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and he's going to be jailed because it turns out all these companies realized he had this obsession with photography.
Yeah.
So they started buying him the really expensive photography gear and giving it to him as gifts.
Oh, okay.
Taking him to really beautiful places to, yeah. so he could take photographs.
Right.
Promoting his photography worldwide for him. And he had international exhibitions, this guy.
Wow.
Based on these companies promoting him. Also that he would give them contracts for other stuff.
Oh.
So that's the first time I've ever heard of photography bringing down a politician.
Yeah.
So the links in the
from the inside anyway.
Yeah. So the links and I haven't got the link here, but I've just read about a incident with a US Air Force plane caused by an SLR camera as well.
Right.
Some pilot flying an Airbus,
yeah.
Military Airbus, got his SLR camera jammed on the control dot handle thingy, you know, the joystick.
Yeah.
The thing took a 4,400 foot dive.
Whoops.
Straight down, injured 33 people on board, all because he couldn't get his camera out between his joystick.
Wow.
So that's a novel way of, yeah, making a bit of a mess of a plane.
Yeah.
And needless to say, you're not supposed to have things like that in your cockpit anyway.
No.
About a year or so ago, we showcased a video from a company called The Camera Store, and it was called the Camera Party.
Oh, okay.
There's all the wireless, all the mirrorless cameras. Remember that? And the Canon M. Oh, you can't focus, and all this kind of stuff. Remember that one at all?
Vaguely.
Very well. They've got a new one out because for all the new cameras,
right.
this little dig they have at the Fuji, which is very funny. So you kind of got to watch that.
Okay, cool.
Then I came up with across another interesting little app for Mac computers.
Yeah.
Called Inklet. I don't know why it's called Inklet. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
But it allows you to use a little stylus and use your trackpad on your laptop as your draw like your Wacom tablet.
Wow.
So you can use that because the new Macs have these new pressure sensitive
touchpads.
Variations. Yeah.
Yep.
And so they're now going to be able to use the new generation's ones to do your touch tablet stuff to do your photo editing, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
It's a very small digitizer, but it's better than no digitizer at all.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, it's one you've got with you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, also about last year, we showed a video on the podcast from the Gulf Photo Show in Arabia Land.
Oh, is this the thing that Hobby and...
Yeah.
Well,
just finished this year's one,
right?
And it's where people get pulled up on stage and they've got to come up with ideas,
yep.
Learn how to light it, shoot it,
yep.
Post process it, and see who's the winner. So they've got the Vimeo videos up for that as well.
Cool.
And I came across an interesting coincidence this week that a friend of mine is actually digitizing some of the Vivian Mayer stuff.
Okay.
He's got box loads of Vivian Mayer's original photographs and negs and stuff.
Wow.
And he's part of the worldwide project to digitize her collection.
Wow.
Well, how cool is that? Be one of the first people to see these images because they haven't been out there yet.
Yeah.
They haven't been digitized. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So just give us a refresher on Vivian Mayer.
She's this guy found a storage locker that was up for auction. And it was full of boxes of negs and slides. And this woman this was a remarkable street photographer, but she was a nanny.
Right.
But she was obsessed. She took just hundreds of thousands of photographs and slides over like a 40-year period. No one ever knew about her.
Wow.
She died in obscurity and then was found. This guy found this and he went, and there was like four lots at this auction. And he only got one of them, but he realized its significance and went and bought the other ones up.
Yeah,
right. And now there's a documentary called Finding Vivian Mayer,
yep.
which is excellent. And then there's this, you've got to look up, her work is beautiful.
Yeah. Right.
But she was like she was a mentally quite an unusual lady by the sounds of it. But her work, and she was the master of the selfie.
Oh, okay.
She did some great self-portrait stuff early on. Yeah. So
right.
If you haven't looked up her work yet, definitely have a look. But on a similar note,
yeah.
There was a guy looking through a junk shop in London not long ago,
mm-hmm.
and he recognized, he found a box full of old Kodachrome slides.
Yeah.
And he recognized the name on a couple of them, couldn't figure out where. This guy was a music journalist, he wasn't a photographer, but he kind of recognized the name. So he bought them for like 30 quid,
yeah.
Got home, looked up the name and found out it was the guy who shot John Lennon's Imagine cover.
Wow.
And so he's just looking through all the slides,
yeah.
And it's all like this guy's holiday in Tunisia in 1974. But he goes back to the shop to see if there's any more. And he goes, oh, no, we had stacks earlier, but they've all been bought. You know, there's original Beatles slides or Rolling Stones. This guy, so people have been buying up these original slides because it's the only. And who knows, where are they? Have they ever come out? Wow. But I thought that was pretty cool.
And the thing, it'd be interesting to know, like, the guy who took the photos, is he dead?
Yes, he died like a year ago in obscurity.
Right. So whoever currently owns the images owns the copyright.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the Vivian Mayer thing. Yeah, who owns the copyright? I think some money's been going back to her family's fairly obscure. She didn't marry, didn't have kids, but it's like, cousins, nephews, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, because this thing's been making millions, it's been exhibited all around the world and stuff. So, But finally, those Beatles ones would be, imagine that. It's a pipe dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I was just flicking through stuff today and I saw that the Fuji X100T has a top shutter speed of 1/32,000th.
Right, because you need that.
1/32,000th. That's quite astounding, isn't it?
I suppose if you're shooting, solar eclipses and lunar eclipses and whatever, the one with the sun in it.
the lunar eclipse, it happens for 1/32,000th of a second.
Yeah.
Oh, you're meaning exposure-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
I thought you meant speed-wise. It doesn't happen that fast. You blink and you miss it. If it only lasted that long, how in the hell would you take the photograph of it?
With great difficulty, I would imagine. Yeah, it
wouldn't be easy. And then, speaking of eclipses,
yeah.
What a lovely segue.
Yes.
I came across this thing on the Red Bull website of this guy, this motocross biker called Danny McCaskill jumping off this little rock face and up in the mountains with a moon eclipse behind him. And it takes up almost the entire frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, complete set up, all this sort of stuff, but it's very, very cool. I mean, the shot's not great. You can just imagine how well the shot could have been done. I don't actually like the shot as far as how the bikey's lit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but...
I'm thinking that's photoshopped.
No, it's not. It's all done for real.
Seriously, look at the size of the guy on the bike and look at the size of the crescent of the moon. Unless somebody shifted the moon like 2/3 of the way closer to the Earth, there is no way that is an original unedited shot.
Impression of the lens. No, seriously, it's all there. There's videos behind the scenes, the location scan. Trust me, it's all there. And whilst looking at all the stuff that is there showing how they did it.
Yeah.
There's also a really cool shot of the same guy on the bike, but with his mum.
Yeah.
With the
Aurora Borealis.
Isn't that awesome?
That's wicked.
Lit. Yeah, that's really cool.
That's a cool shot.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway.
And then I came across this other, I didn't put the link in because I thought it was stupid.
Right.
But these people went to creating bokeh behind photographs at night for night portraits, and they're getting a whole bunch of people to stand with their iPhones turned on with different colored gels over the front using the light because there wasn't enough street lights. It's like, I used my iPhone to create bokeh once. I ordered a bit of bokeh on the flowers on the internet. Oh, my. Canon's 11-14mm lens. I noticed Ken Rockwell's done a review on it on his website.
And?
11-4, it's the widest lens ever produced. And apparently, it's the sharpest lens of its type ever made.
Right.
All the way through the range, from 2.8 all the way through. It's incredibly sharp, edge to edge, not much distortion. It looks an astounding.
As voted by who? By DxO Optics or by some Canon fanboy?
No. Ken Rockwell, he uses perfectly clear software anyway. He doesn't use DxO. Just for edge to edge sharpness, lack of drop off. It's looking pretty darn cool.
Yeah, right.
And then I come across, and I've actually put the links in for these, a guy who's doing shooting through convex lenses. He's holding convex lenses on the front element of his lens.
Not hooting, as you put in the show notes.
Yeah, not hooting. Yeah, I put it's a silent S, dude.
Right, okay. That's looking like going, we got an owl story
you
coming
really
up.
You hit me. You hit me a lot.
Yeah, I get you.
Shooting through convex lenses. So he's holding these lenses in different sort of angles and creating different light patterns. Right. And he's also using prisms to do a similar sort of thing as well.
Right.
So there's a couple of links. So I've just ordered myself a prism on eBay.
Yeah.
$5.64 delivered. So I thought I could worth an experiment. And I'm still looking for the convex lenses. I thought that'd be a bit of fun to play with.
Yeah. Well, surely you could get an old lens that's broken and pull the lenses out of it.
You could.
Too much effort, right?
But for like five or six, I've got a massive lenses around the place, I should. but for $5 or $6, I'll just order one from the internet. And then I came across a love, because we had these massive storms in the US recently, these massive snowstorms, and Boston had its snowiest ever period.
Oh, okay.
And they've got some great photographs on their website of the snow.
Oh, wow.
Some really cool stuff.
I love the first one.
And which one's it?
It's got like all this snow in the foreground and the distance in the background. It's very cool.
Well, it's got snow in the foreground and distance in the background. What the hell are you talking?
Didn't I said the city? Maybe I meant to say the city in the background.
Ah, that one. Yeah, he said the distance in the background. Sorry. It usually is. Yeah. So often you have the distance in the foreground.
No, not very often.
That's
cool.
Perspective. It's a great one further down of commuters going to work. The park one's beautiful, just for its symmetry.
The overhead of the park is great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. And the next one down with the billboard with the hand.
Yeah. It's great. Looks like something out of Walking Dead.
Yeah, very clever. And it's a really cool one a little further down from Fenway Park in Boston. All the seats from the stadium.
Do you have a wheel mouse?
I don't have a real one. I've only got a trackpad. A real mouse?
A wheel.
Oh, I thought you said you have a wheel one. No, mine's fake.
The fifth image. Cars covered by snow.
Oh, yeah, it's great, isn't it?
If you're using your wheel mouse, it kind of makes it look like the picture's animated. Really freaky. As you scroll past it, it makes it look like they're all coming towards you.
That's funny.
Anyway. and the parking meters. That's cool.
Parking meters. The next one down from that, the Boston.
That's the seats in the stadium.
From above. Very clever.
That's cool.
Very clever. And that's...
the one after it with the bike, the push bike buried in the snow.
There's one that's another half a dozen down with a big T for the transport sign, I'm assuming.
Oh, yep. Oh, wow.
Doesn't look great. That just looks awesome. So surreal, you know?
Wow.
Love that shot.
There's some great stuff in there.
It's some cool stuff. So I thought that was just a nice little bunch of images to have a look at and be inspired by. Not that we ever get snow like that here, but you know what I mean? and then my last couple of things for the week.
Yeah.
Get off. There's a new iPhone app out called Prime.
Okay.
And it's got the capability of doing a 50 megapixel output.
Okay.
So it upscales your iPhone image to a 50 megapixel image.
Right. Well, that's just digital zoom.
Not digital zoom, because digital zoom is magnifying the image.
Well, this has got to interpret intermediate pixels somehow. Yeah.
I don't know how it does it. If you can turn your normal DVDs into 4K, upscaling technology to increase the detail fourfold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's using something, but this is astounding for an iPhone app. Apparently, it's got some great editing features built into it, unlike other iPhone apps as well. Okay. Haven't looked at it yet because my phone was full, hence why I realized I had 34 gig photos. But the last thing, also iPhone related, was that Apple have put a patent in for a 3-sensor camera.
Oh, wow.
So it looks like they're going to have the iPhone with red, blue, green.
I was going to say, is that going to be CCD rather than CMOS?
Who knows?
Wow.
That was pretty interesting stuff.
Trippy.
Yeah, so it's a brave new world for them.
Yeah.
Once again, as you know, not all patents come to reality, but it means they're working on stuff and exploring different ideas and so on. So that's all pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that's it for me. That's all I got for the week. I just did some stuff. I said I'm heading up to Bris Vegas tomorrow. I'm looking forward to the workshops up there.
Nice.
And looking forward to getting away from the house and all the mess.
I think where you went wrong was hiring a mob called Faulty Towers Kitchens.
Faulty Towers Kitchens. Yeah. Oh, man. I've got to tell you. With the exception of the second, one of the advantages of having tradies around is some of the good faces. I got a good photograph of a plumber today.
I saw that.
It's good. And the guy doing my louver roof's got a pretty good face. So if I get a chance, I might shoot him tomorrow too.
Right.
But every single tradie I've had have been brilliant, except for the plumber who came for the hot water service, who's a total. But he works for Rinnai, so I wouldn't. Well, he's a contractor for Rinnai, so it doesn't surprise me. But yeah, he rings up on the phone. Because he rings up the phone. He answers the phone and goes, "Hello, Glenn speaking." "Yeah, hi." "Hello, who is it?" "Chris." And I've got tradies calling for me. Where are you from, Chris? Rinnai.
You should have said, "Mate, you're the one who called me. Did you want to talk or not?"
Oh, dear. I knew we were in for a treat from the start. You know, and he turned out to be quite special.
Right.
So anyway, that's it for me.
Gotta love him. Awesome, mate. Okay, well, you have a safe weekend up in Brisbane.
I hope your bike goes well and you have a good time riding it.
So be safe. Yeah, it'd be nice to get back on it.
Just be safe.
Yep, will do.
Just remember, power through those oil slicks next time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As everyone on Facebook has been saying, you know, shiny side up, rubber side down.
Oh, isn't the world a lovely place?
Absolutely.
To everyone who sent links and stuff to us this week, thank you.
Yep.
And lovely emails.
Thank you.
It was very, very much appreciated.
Excellent. All right, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
Au revoir.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.